Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 273, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7. 273. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. 1, 2, 3, 6 and 7 of Psalter 273.
For her woes.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, beginning with verse 26 through verse 56. Luke 1, verses 26 through 56. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. And when she, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him, from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Peter Vendriel, who was burned with others in a cooking accident last night. Also, Mr. Lane Vinesh, who has lost a brother in the Netherlands this past week. Also, our own son, Timothy, who had surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, O Thou who art of yesterday, today, and forever the same God, all we have read as such a precious portion of Thy holy word, wherein Thou didst gather two together, that may sing, all that may speak together of the wondrous ways of God in their life. And then so many words need not even be said, but Thou didst reveal it unto them together, what Thou had spoken to one another. Lord, wilt Thou look on us also? Oh, we live in days where we hear this, O Lord, so seldom from the mouth of Thy children, that they may be given truly to rejoice and to sing those songs of which we have heard together. How that Thou dost lift up those that are poor. How that Thou dost put down the mighty from their seats, and that Thou dost exalt them who are of low degree. Oh, there will be a people who will magnify and who will glorify Thee by beginnings here below, and that song that shall never end, it shall be to an eternity. And when they shall realize a little bit of that from which they have been redeemed, from which they have been saved, Lord, that it may be experienced also in our day. Oh, we are so wretched, and we are so sinful. There are so many drawings of the devil, the prince of this world, to the things of the world, to the things of time and sense, promising happiness here below. And our hearts are so deceitful, and they are so wicked, to be drawn after all those things. And we do not see, because our eyes are so blinded by our deep fall. Oh, then we do not see the preciousness of Thy service. And we do not understand that we have no impression of the blessedness of Thy people. Lord, may it be in this Thy holy day, when Thou hast gathered us together once again, after the week that is so quickly gone by, wherein we have been involved, each one in our place, in the labors of our hands each day. And when we have been given all that was necessary to do our work, both young and old, oh, then wilt Thou give us this day, that all these things may for a few moments be put aside, that our minds may be stayed upon Thee, but that our hearts also may be drawn, O Lord. Oh, we cannot do this of ourselves. No, our hearts are drawn to all but Thee, but Thou canst draw us. Oh, Thou canst give a blessedness as Thou didst give in the days of old, when Thou didst reveal Thyself unto Thy people, when Thou didst send Thine only begotten Son into this world. Lord, then it was before His coming so dark, and yet there was an expectation. Oh, may it be that also in the dark days in which we are living with our dear children, that Thy Spirit may come again. Oh, it is so undeserved. Lord, we need not tell Thee anything. Our whole hearts, our whole lives, they are all naked and open before Thee, with whom we have to do. Then it is a wonder that Thou hast not yet cast us away from Thee, that we could not come up to Thy house in this morning. Lord, we beseech Thee, when Thou still hast given that great privilege,
that in this morning that it might be yet for a blessing, that it may yet be in this day a day of thy good pleasure. Oh, that thou may take many in the midst of us. Oh, come with thy Spirit, Lord. Oh, bestow it upon us undeservedly, and give that men and women and children and may be born again, that we may be raised from the dead, that we may receive spiritual life, that a hunger and a thirst may go out after that God whom we have left in paradise and who continues to bestow upon us every blessing. Oh, make us so ashamed of ourselves, and that our faces may come in the dust before thee. Lord, that we may learn to abhor ourselves in thy sight, to turn away from all our wickedness, vanity, and carnality, and to draw nigh again unto the true and the living God. Oh, hast thou not therefore sent thy Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost? Lord, are there not yet those among us also that lie under that seal of thine election, those whom thou hast chosen from that never begun eternity, those whose hearts are estranged yet from thee, who lie still under thy wrath and thy hot displeasure, and who lie still with a heart that is in rebellion against their Maker? Lord, are there not such also among the children of the older ones, also amongst the fathers and the mothers? Oh, could it be that there may also be a work of thy Spirit to do here, Lord, that for this reason thou hast sent us to be a little instrument in thy holy fingers, and that there may be a new life from the dead? Oh, give that also thy children and may be fed in the midst of the congregation. Lord, then we are so insufficient for these things, and we do not know how to do the work that thou hast laid upon our shoulders. Oh, we are to be spiritual, and we are so carnal. Lord, we can give thy people nothing. It all must come from thee. Wilt thou remember them then in this day? And wilt thou show thyself to be amongst us? And despite all our wretchedness and our wickedness, and wilt thou deal with us in thy mercy, according to that grace that thou hast given in thy dear and thine only begotten Son? Lord, be with each and every one. Oh, if we walk over this world with a false religion, oh, Lord, we are deceivers of ourselves. Oh, we want that which is blessed, but we do not want to serve the blessed God. Oh, wilt thou undeceive us then, that in this day thy Spirit may open our blind eyes, that for the first time we may be brought with him that could not look up to heaven, but that had to smite upon his breast and to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, remember us. To whom else shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and we are to gather before thy countenance. Thou who knowest the heart of each and every one of us, wilt thou remember all that are afflicted? Remember her that was brought to the hospital last night. Thou knowest her condition. Lord, that thou may take away the pain, and that thou may give her relief, that thou may give the physicians wisdom dealing with her body, that thou may heal her and also those that were with her, that were taken to the hospital, Lord, that thou may thyself show thyself as the great physician. And oh, teach thou them and us that our life here below, that is hanging as it were by a thread, and that one moment is all that we need, and that we can be so easily taken away. Wilt thou remember all those that are afflicted, also those that mourn, those that have lost a beloved brother in the Netherlands in the week that is gone by? Wilt thou remember them also in these days? Bring safely home again at thy appointed time. Comfort in their mourning, in their loss. And all those that mourn in our midst, thou knowest where that they are. Oh, be with widows, widowers, and orphans in all the loneliness and the difficulties of this life. May thou be a God nearby and teach us to bear the burdens of one another. Remember our own son. Lord, thou hast brought him safely through. Wilt thou humble his heart before thee, that thou hast made all things well, and that thou may teach him in the days of his youth, and all our children, and the children of the congregation. Oh, give us instruction, Lord, that they may fear thy name when they are young, that they may have an inner chamber, and that they may experience in their very youth that thou art alive, and that thou art the ruler over all the earth. And wilt thou look on her also, whom we have heard in the week that is gone by, that she has received good news from the doctors? Lord, thou hast made everything well, despite the fears that were in her heart. Oh, may thou be near and dear to her and to her husband together. And oh, visit them in this day with thy fullness. Be with all that are afflicted. Maybe we do not know those afflictions that many do bear in this life. Wilt thou thyself be near to them? And may thou help and give a place at thy footstool. Lord, wilt thou go before us in this day? Wilt thou remember us in the preaching of thy word? Oh, may it bring forth fruit. Give us a little freedom. Give us a little liberty that is so undeserved. But Lord, thou hast sent us to do this work. Thou knowest that we have not run of our own accord. Then there are labors that need to be performed. And there is thy church that does lay before us. Oh, may thou then, for thy own name's sake, do it, Lord, that thou may come over for us, that thou may take away everything that is of man and of self. And wilt thou give us to be as clay in thy holy fingers, that in this morning hour, that truly it may be good to be in thy house when thou may be in the midst of us. Lord, forgive. Forgive and take away all that is sinful within and without. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 429, stanzas 3 and 4. They all shall sing in joyful lays and laud his ways with jubilation. For great is God in majesty. The Lord is he of all creation. Jehovah looketh from on high with kindly eye upon the lowly, but knoweth those from far who hide in sinful pride their ways unholy. We announced at our past members' meeting, Elder Martin Niels and Deacon Henry Van Sluis have been reelected to their offices. Anyone having lawful objections to their reinstallation must bring their objections to the consistory by December 27, 2006. Psalter 429, stanzas 3 and 4. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Thus we read, congregation, about an angel. And we can read about angels in the Word of God, especially in certain periods of the history of God's people. And that is in a special way at the times of the changes in the dispensations. That is, when the patriarchal dispensation began, then we can read how that the angel of the Lord has appeared unto Abraham. And when the Lord has instituted Israel as a nation, how that the angel of the Lord has also given that law of God unto Moses. And we can read of angels then once again at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. What is one of the tasks of an angel? That is, that he may deliver a message. And where, boys and girls, do the angels reside? They reside in heaven. Thus, from where does come that message? It is a message from heaven. Is that not a wonder? That means that it speaks about communion, the communication of the Lord to men. Congregation, is that ever to us a great wonder? Because David, he besought the Lord. He says, O Lord, my rock, be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, then I become like one of those that go down into the pit. Is that also our life? That we say, Lord, be not silent unto me, reveal thyself. In the sixth month, that is the time that the Lord came unto Mary. That was an unforgettable moment. Do we also know such a moment? That was a moment that the Lord himself did speak unto Mary. She could tell of that moment. That was a moment that the Lord gave to Mary a promise. And things have very much changed in the life of Mary from that moment forward. What was that great change? Mary has known from her bringing up, boys and girls, from her father, from her mother, she has also been taught about what? The same as you are taught. Then Mary has also been taught that Messiah, he was to come, that he was to be born in this world. And with all that she has been taught, now there comes a moment in her life that it becomes so different. And how is that so different? Well, now the Lord came. And the Lord himself told her of that Messiah. Then it had not only to do with a knowledge in her mind, no, but then it became so personal. In one moment that became so personal for Mary, And it was from this moment onward that Mary began to look forward to the fulfillment of the promise that the Lord Himself had spoken in her soul. Thus, what a great change in that heart of Mary. And we want to consider that further with you, with the Lord's help, if from the words which have been read to you out of the Word of God, and then especially from verse 38 of Luke 1. Verse 38, the first part, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." So far, the words of our text. A blessed promise received. First, received in humility. Second, received in faith. Third, received in submission. A blessed promise received first in humility, second in faith, third in submission. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. That is, congregation, a perplexed Mary. Why is she so perplexed? She is so perplexed because of the salutation we read of this angel, because of his words. She cannot understand his words. And why are his words so perplexing? Because those words represent to her in her soul such a great contrast. What were those words? And the angel came into unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Highly favored. Congregation, who does not covet this? Who does not covet to be highly favored? And that to be highly favored among the men of this world, amongst the great men of this world, that is often such a great blessing. When David came into the palace of King Saul, then David was for a time also highly favored of that king. We think about Esther and how highly favored that Esther was. But now Mary, she has received a message not from a man, no, not from the great men of this world, but she has received a message from above, a message saying that she is highly favored, that she is highly favored of God Himself. Congregation, do we covet such a favor, or do we covet only the favor of the men that are in this world? And why was she so highly favored? Well, we read, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." Oh, are you jealous of this Mary? Are you jealous of her for this reason? Because the Lord was with her? Or is there a greater blessing that you and I can have in this world than that the Lord would be with us? What was that one thing that Moses did not want to miss when he went with the children of Israel to that land of Canaan? Oh, then Moses pleaded with the Lord, "If thy presence go not up with us, then carry us not up hence, then do not even let us go. Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Oh, is that possible, congregation? That way is open. And we have left him, but that way is yet open after the fall also for you and for me and for our children, that the Lord may go with us, a way open in and through that child, and that would be born in that manger of Bethlehem. Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Of course, for Mary, then we can say that in a very special way. A congregation, that can be said of every one of the true children of the Lord, whom the Lord is, we read, with. That highly favored, that very blessed people, that the blessings of the greatest blessings that can ever be received, they are bestowed upon that church. Not only temporal blessings, no, but the spiritual, but the eternal blessings. And then that angel is also continuing with Mary, and he speaks about something that every woman in Israel, every mother, had such a great desire for. What was the greatest burden of the women of Israel in that time? That was that they would be without child. And why was that such a burden? Well, because of the promise of the Messiah. Then every mother, she was desirous that she may be also the mother of that Messiah, because it was to be the seed of the woman, because it was to come out of that children of Israel. And now suddenly Mary receives this message from the Lord, from the angel of the Lord, that she is going to be the mother of the Savior, the King of Israel. Oh, how many? How many of the women of Israel would not immediately have rejoiced with gladness at such a message from an angel of the Lord? And yet, Mary does not. No, we read that Mary is perplexed at this. And why is she so perplexed at this? Well, because for Mary, it had never entered into her thoughts. Because for Mary, it had never come into her own mind. And why not? Well, because of what we read here in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Galilee. Galilee was situated in a remote corner of that land of Israel. Galilee was a place of no reputation amongst the Israelites. Galilee was actually on the border of the heathens. Galilee was even called by the Israelites often Galilee of the Gentiles. Oh, it was a place that was poor. It was a place that was despised among the Israelites. Think of Nathanael. What shall any good thing come out of Nazareth? The Sanhedrin search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Oh, that is the place That is the place where this Mary is born, where she is brought up, where she is living. And then Mary can understand when that Messiah would come, that he would be born of, well, maybe a woman who lived in Jerusalem, in the city of the Lord, where the temple of the Lord is, where the ordinances of the Lord were. Or that she would be born of a woman that was in Bethlehem, that was in the prophecy of the Lord. And therefore Mary, we read here, she is troubled at the saying of the angel. She cannot immediately just receive that from the angel. And why not? Because that is so far above her thought and her expectation. And when that angel is continuing, then what great and mighty things that angel is saying about that child that shall come into her womb. We read, he shall be great. But greatness has never entered into the thought of this Mary of Nazareth. In her poverty, she has not sought greatness. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest, Mary's Son, the Son of God. Oh, we cannot even begin to enter into this. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Thus he shall be a king. He shall sit on the throne of David. He shall be that seed of David. He shall be that son of David. And then in a kingdom that shall not be only for this life, but a kingdom that shall never, never end. An eternal kingdom. Oh, could Mary comprehend it all? Oh, undoubtedly she could not. When in one moment that angel appeared unto her and gave her such a message. But Mary was not unacquainted with the promise of the Lord concerning that Messiah that was to come. And now for her, the most incomprehensible part, that Messiah, he shall be born of me. Therefore, congregation, we say a great contrast, and it is a great contrast of which the true church of God is no stranger. The Lord is making room for his promises in the life of his people. The Lord is preparing the heart of his people to receive the promises of the Lord. How? By stripping them of all the high and the lofty thoughts that we have by nature of ourselves. How does the Lord prepare them? He gives them self-knowledge. He humbles them. He shows them everything that lies within. He teaches them what they deserve. And thus he takes away all their expectation. That the Lord is instructing them so that they hardly dare to expect the smallest mercy of the Lord because of who that they are. And now this people are the one that are given to experience a wonder in their life. When the Lord is coming, when the Lord is speaking, and when the Lord is having a dealing with such a person as they are. And then they receive not, congregation, the smallest blessings only, no. But then they receive that which is so far beyond their expectation. Then it goes from poverty to the greatest unsearchable riches. Then it goes from an awful misery to the greatest of the blessings in one moment. Then it goes, really, congregation, it goes from hell in one moment unto heaven. And that people, they learn something. What do they learn? They learn to sing. They learn to sing about the wonders of the Lord. That is what Mary learned to sing about. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. What a wonder that that was to her. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. Oh, that great contrast, Mary. Oh, she can hardly believe that here we have already a foreboding of the way of that Son of God that is going to be laid in that womb of Mary. What do we read here? We read, he shall be great. He shall be great. The congregation, he will be exalted as one that is great by every one of that people who have lost all the expectation from their own sight. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, that is Savior. And he will be exalted as a Savior by all those who have learned in their life that they cannot save themselves. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. Oh, that is a people for whom that wonder that is so unfathomably great. And now it is for that. It is for that reason that faith that is necessary in order that they may receive that message of the Lord. That is our second thought. And as now just a natural example, then we think about David, who has given a promise to Bathsheba that her son Solomon shall sit upon the throne. Boys and girls, then you can understand that was not so difficult to believe. No, that would be the son of David, and that was a very natural thing, that one of David's children, they shall sit upon the throne after him. The king has chosen Solomon, and then they are able to believe this in a natural way. It was different, really, with King Saul, was it not? When Samuel spoke to Saul, and when Samuel said to Saul that the desire of all Israel is upon thee, and then what did Saul say? He says, am I not a Benjamite? Am I not from the smallest of the tribes of Israel? Am I not of the least of all the families of that tribe of Benjamin? Why do you speak so to me? What is it that makes faith so necessary in the life of God's people? It is the great contrast between the blessing that is to be received and what that people see that they so justly deserve. Humanly speaking, that people cannot put these two things together. The wonder is too great just to be able to receive it. Congregation, is this now what makes faith so necessary also in your life? Because to believe it now for others, of whom I do not know what lays in their heart, that is one thing. But to believe it now for myself, that I cannot do. That is something that needs to be given because of the greatness of that gift. And because of what I see that I so justly deserve. When self-knowledge is lacking, then I can believe why I should receive the blessing of the Lord. Because then I deserve it. But when I am taught what I am before that holy and that righteous God, then I cannot understand it anymore. Then it needs to be taught to me. And what needs to be taught to me? The way of free and sovereign grace. Then what needs to be taught to me? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I need to see something of that child. And not only so, but in many ways, the promises of the Lord, they are received in the way of impossibility in the life of God's true children. How was that in the life of Mary? Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In the same chapter before this, then we read about the angel coming to Zacharias and also gave to Zacharias such a blessed message. And Zacharias cannot believe it. Is that the same with Mary? No. What did Zacharias say? Zacharias says, whereby shall I know this? Thus he asked for a sign. How do I know that what you say to me is really the truth, that it is really going to happen? Mary does not do this. Mary asks, how shall this be? Calvin writes, we must not tease ourselves much to find out a way of vindicating her entirely. That means that we cannot but believe that in the heart of Mary, that there was also a mixture of doubt and of unbelief, because where the Lord is, there the devil is also so close by. And that matter was very, very great for Mary. But also the obstacles were so real for Mary. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And yet, that question of Mary, that is not a question of unbelief. But it is a question of faith. Then she receives that message of the angel, and she is asking that angel for direction. She is asking that angel for further instruction. Oh, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the soul of the church of God that is in the midst of great impossibilities from the side of men. He had his type in the birth of Isaac. Congregation, that was when Sarah had long finished praying. Wherefore, it had become an impossibility with Sarah. It was cut off for Sarah. It was no longer possible. And she could not believe it anymore. And then the Lord, he says, Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Thus he had his type in the birth of Isaac. He had his forerunner in the birth of John the Baptist. When? When Zacharias and Elizabeth had long finished praying. When it had become for them an impossibility. When it could not happen anymore. And they could not believe it. But congregation, when they could not believe it, then that angel, he says, you don't believe it, he says. But these things, they shall be fulfilled in their season. Oh, he had his type in the birth of Isaac. He had his forerunner in the birth of John the Baptist. And he has his reality in his birth, in that womb of the Virgin Mary, this unmarried woman, in the impossibility of her circumstances. And what does the Lord say? The Lord says, with God, Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. Congregation, where is that church for whom the impossibilities in this day only increase? For the coming of the Son of God in your own soul, the circumstances of your heart, the circumstances of your life are such that you do not dare to believe it anymore. Even perhaps when you may and you had to believe it in the past. Oh, your self-knowledge increases. And the wonder that becomes greater and greater that the Lord should ever show you the least of his mercies. And not only so, but the outward circumstances in your life, they bring impossibilities that become greater than the hills and the mountains. Because you add sin to sin, and you become older and your heart becomes colder, so that it cannot receive any impression, it seems, anymore. Listen for a moment to the rejoicing of Mary. She says, For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. He that is mighty hath done for me great things. Is there now not a people who need such a mighty God as has come also in that life of Mary? Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is born in the impossibility. Why? So that he might receive all the honor and all the glory. Mary says, He that is mighty, oh, it was his arm when it was an impossibility from my side. Oh, that's why, congregation, there is hope. For the most wretched, for the most miserable, for the most guilty, for the most polluted one. Hope in that child, in him who is great, and who shall be called that Son of the Highest. Oh, then they shall glorify, they shall magnify him. I cry to him in deep distress, but now his wondrous grace I bless, because he has set me free. That will be the song of his children. Let us sing. The Psalter 175, 1, 3, and 4. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, who never lets our feet be moved, and though our faith he oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 175.
Thank you.
And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Our last thought, that is the blessed submission of Mary. You say, submission, why is submission necessary? Do we need to submit to the blessings of the Lord? Was the promise actually a burden unto Mary, that most coveted blessing that all the women in Israel would have desired to receive? Oh, it is true. We read that Mary rejoiced with Elizabeth. She says, From henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. How true that is. Men even today worshiping the Virgin Mary in their ignorance. A congregation, this blessedness of Mary, that is not going to be without its trials and without its afflictions. Because to receive now that blessing of the Lord is going to be at the same time to receive the scorn of men. And why is that? Well, Mary is unmarried. And Mary is going to be with child. And therefore, Mary is going to be viewed as a fornicator, as an harlot. Her outward condition before all men, that is going to be a testimony against her, against her purity, against her uprightness, against her godliness. The world will not abhor her for it, no, because with the world then everything is permissible. But within that church of God, then it is going to be different. And all the evidence that is before men, that is going to point to one thing, that is transgression against the law of God. Then she must come under discipline, the discipline of the church. That is, that she has to be stoned, because she was betrothed. But you say, Mary, she can explain that, no? She is no transgressor, is she? Ah, congregation, who is going to believe this? Are the people going to believe this? Will the judges, are they going to believe this? Even her own beloved and dear Joseph did not believe this. No, we read he is minded to put her away privately. That means he is minded just to leave her. He is minded just to forsake her quietly, just to go away. Why? He is an upright man. And he will have nothing to do with this wickedness. And yet, he has in his heart a love for Mary. He will not deal with her according to the full rigor of the law to bring her unto the judges. No, he has compassion upon Mary. Or even Joseph cannot believe Mary until he is told by the Lord Himself. No, it is impossible, congregation, for us to believe such a thing. The matter is too great. That matter that is that is divine. But Mary, oh, what does she say? She says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Oh, then she is willing. She is willing to be despised of men that she may receive the blessing of the Lord. And actually not only willing, no, but she desires it. Oh, be it unto me. She says, it is good. She says, Lord, here I am. And do with me as thou dost please. What a blessed place. What a blessed place. Eli may also know that place. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good unto him. Congregation, we live in a time that Christianity is a popular thing. Oh, how many today, and in this season, they are not speaking about the Lord Jesus, about the birth of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes even figures on the lawn. The sheep and the manger, etc. But then, oh, it is in general a spirit of we Christians. We have a place in this world. We are a formidable force in this world. And it is the opposite of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." He said, "In the world you are going to suffer persecution." He says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore, he says, the world hateth you. It is not the portion of that Christianity of our day to desire, to endure that what Mary desires to endure for the sake of that blessing. But it is not only of the world, it is also of the church. Even as publicans and sinners are despised, so that people are despised even within that church of God. Oh, that blessing of the Lord that is worth far more to that people than all of the opinions of men, even of so-called religious men. Congregation, is it not possible to justify yourself before men in this world, in the condition, whatever condition that may be, that the Lord has brought you in, that you appear as the guilty one? And is it not possible to show and to give the evidence before men that you are not the guilty one? Oh, what do we read? "Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass, and he will bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." You don't have to stand for your own reputation. Mary could not. And she had no desire to. And she did not need to. She did not need to justify herself before men. No, she had only to have a pure conscience before God. And the Lord will take care of the reputation of Mary. Soon Mary is going to see her own, the son of her womb, standing in the judgment, guiltless, innocent, and yet condemned of all men, with a closed mouth, willing. Oh, so Mary, she has also been given that place, willing to suffer for the sake of that blessing of the Lord. Oh, young people, God's people have nothing. They have nothing in themselves. God's people cannot bring forth anything in themselves, only sin, only evil. That is their constant grief. Because of this, they are despised, often despised, young people, even by the religious world. For what? For their poverty. I mean their religious poverty. Because they have so little faith. Because they are so poor in and of themselves. Therefore, they are despised by the religious world in our day. By these things, young people, oh, keep your ears and your eyes open. Because by these things, you may begin to distinguish who the true people of the Lord really are. By these things, you may begin to recognize what the Lord's work is. And what is that? That is to strip. That is to strip a man of everything that he has within himself. That people are not disappointed with that portion. No, though they are despised, they are not disappointed. Why? Because they do not seek the praise of men. But they are looking for something else. They're looking for that favor of the Lord. What did the Lord say? Highly favored. Highly favored. Because the Lord is with them. Oh, in all their wretchedness and in all their misery. One day they are going to experience what that is for the Lord Jesus to be born within their heart also. And when that child is born, and when that child is revealed, oh, then that people, then they are going to rejoice in what? Not in themselves, no. Then they are going to rejoice in the deliverance that has come so completely. So completely from the side of the Lord. No, by nature we are all the same. We do not like that way. It is a way that is so against our flesh. But for this portion, they learn to wait. For this portion, they learn to look. For this portion, they learn to long. They learn to hunger. They learn to thirst. For that portion, they are made willing to be despised. For this portion, they are made willing to take the lowest place among all men. Oh, for this portion, they are made to say with this Mary, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And it is now this people that are going to sing. They're going to sing with this Mary. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he that is mighty hath done for me great things, and holy is his name. Amen. O Lord, instruct us in that way of her in whose womb may come that blessed child. Oh, he needs to be born in our womb also. Lord, he needs to be brought by thy Spirit within us. Then there must be room for him. There must be place for him. Then we must come in the Galilee of the Gentiles. Then we must come to dwell in Nazareth. Then we must have all stripped away, that thou may receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, instruct us in that blessed way. Then thou wilt be glorified by beginnings here, and it shall never end. Oh, Lord, then it is for thy name's sake that we may ask it of thee, that we and our children also may be partakers of that one and great and only blessing. Wilt thou bring us safely home? Give us desire to be together further in this afternoon. Forgive all that was sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is the Song of Mary, which can be found on page 416 in the back of your psalter. The Song of Mary, stanzas 1 through 4, our souls shall magnify the Lord. In God the Savior we rejoice, and while we repeat the Virgin's song, may the same Spirit tune our voice. 1 through 4 of the Song of Mary.
must be adored.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.